The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 18th chapter. Jesus also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, "God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get." But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." I tell you, this man went down to his house justified, rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. This is the Gospel of the Lord. In the holy name of Jesus, amen. Scripture describes God as just, meaning God is fair and upholds morality. Psalm 89:14 says, "Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne." Unrighteousness can't cozy up to a just God, because as a just God, he punishes unrighteousness. He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. Deuteronomy 32, verse 4. Punishing evil and rewarding good is God's act of divine justice to humanity. Now, justice seems to be all the rage of the day. As Christians, we should seek justice for each other, rewarding good and punishing evil. Part of that is to help those who are oppressed and being treated as criminals, though no crime has been broken. Or conversely, seeking justice where it's owed. But divine justice is much more serious, and it's less forgiving. There's no paying a small fine for a speeding ticket, just a jailhouse. It's more demanding, allows no slip-ups. It requires total perfection. Our Creator demands perfection from us. "Be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect," Matthew 5:48. It is not the hearers of the law who are righteous before God, but the doers of the law who will be justified, Romans 2:13. Take to heart all the words or teachings by which I am warning you today, that you may command them to your children, that they may be careful to do all the words of this law. For it is no empty word for you, but your very life. And by this word you shall live long in the land. Deuteronomy 32, verse 46 through 47. The gospel parable's Pharisee seems to be acing his morality exam, at least close to a perfect score. His righteousness is apparent. He doesn't blackmail people out of their money. He fights for justice for the oppressed. He doesn't sleep around with others. He fasts twice a week, though Jewish law requires it only once annually. And he trims 10% off the top of his paycheck as soon as he gets it and gives it to God. The Pharisee checks a lot of boxes. In a sense, he's what a model Christian should be, especially when compared to the tax collector in the parable. Tax collectors were notorious for collecting more money than what the Roman government required of individuals and then pocketing the difference. The community knew this was happening, but couldn't do anything about it. The tax collector stole, lied, coveted his neighbor's money, disobeyed the government, and was riddled with greed as he furthered oppression of the poor Jerusalem citizens. He didn't live as if God mattered most, but as if he mattered most. He idolized himself over the God of the universe, and God demands punishment for this unrighteousness. Since God is just and righteous, God will judge and punish the tax collector's unrighteousness. If God didn't punish unrighteousness, then God would be inconsistent in his character. If God demanded holiness and righteousness to turn around and scoot certain sins under the rug, acting as if they never happened, then God wouldn't be just. He wouldn't be fair. He would be cruel, oppressing some, but maybe not others. There would be inconsistency in how God deals with us. But God can't be this way, because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. God works to bring justice to the world now, and with finality on Judgment Day, when his judgments are for eternity. But it is God who executes judgment, putting down one and lifting up another. Psalm 75, verse 7. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10. We aren't exempt. Our unrighteousness deserves punishment too. We disregard the Ten Commandments in our lives toward God and each other every day, using God's name for sin instead of praise. Not coming to church regularly because we actually despise preaching in his word. Not honoring government, police, parents, and other authorities that he's given over us. Disregarding the needs of our neighbor at the expense of our greed, of our own time and money. Lusting over the flesh of another person God hasn't given us in marital union. Having a hands-off approach to improving and protecting our neighbor's possessions and income. Gossiping and slandering people's reputations for the sake of political, economic, or self-righteous gain. In wishing we had material things that our Lord hasn't given to us. The things we do don't honor and praise God. And it's easy to overlook our evil and fixate on the good things that we do. Well, I gave $20 to that beggar last week. Or we'll say, I go to church when I can, but never I need to go to church more. Or, I was tempted to lust over that person, but I was strong enough to resist. Or, I honor my government's police and all my authorities because I was raised better. But the minute we start doing that, fixating on our own good, we turn into the Pharisee. And that's not good. We begin to give thanks for our works while neglecting to notice what we are. that we're beggars with open hands at the feet of our just and merciful God. It's not good to have the Pharisees' attitude, because the tax collector is the one who went home justified. The Pharisee gives thanks to God for himself, not for the gifts which God has given him. He believes that he has perfect righteousness because of the things he does and doesn't do. So the Pharisee doesn't believe he needs help from God. He doesn't believe he needs his mercy. But through the Pharisee's prayer, we learn the true intentions of his heart. That he breaks the fifth commandment by pointing out his neighbor's sins without helping him. That he breaks the eighth commandment by speaking to God in prayer about the wicked deeds of his neighbor, instead of praying for God to be merciful to both him and his neighbor. Finally, he's broken the first commandment because his prayer gives thanks for himself, not for God. On the other hand, the tax collector recognizes his unworthiness, beats his chest, and cries out into the heavens, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And who went home justified? The tax collector, the sinner, the repentant. What does it even mean to be justified? Well, it's to be declared righteous, to be declared perfect according to the law. So how is the tax collector the one declared perfect, even though he's the furthest one away from living it perfectly? He's declared perfect because he had faith, evidenced in his prayer. The Pharisee's prayer revealed he had faith in his works, not the works of God. But the tax collector had faith in God's mercy. But if God is just, won't the unrighteousness of the tax collector need its due justice and punishment? Yes. Which is why he sent his son Jesus Christ, born in the flesh to the Virgin Mary. Jesus lived a life of perfection on this earth. He fulfilled all the requirements of the divine law in our place. Yet, he suffered under Pontius Pilate. He was judged and punished unjustly as a criminal and blasphemer, even though those charges were false. But through the self-sacrificial act on the cross, the innocent Lamb of God took on himself the sin of all humanity and died in our place and rose from the grave for our justification. That's what we call the blessed exchange. When all our sin and unrighteousness is placed on Christ, and when Christ places his innocence, righteousness, and perfection on us. When God's wrath on sin is satisfied in the death of his Son. In God's favor, unjustly, rests upon us. The righteousness comes from outside of ourselves, because true righteousness has its origin in God, and he freely gives it to us. This gift of righteousness and perfection can only be received by faith. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith. As it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. Romans 1:17. Yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. Galatians 2:16. So when God judges us, what does he look for? Certainly he looks for requirement of the divine law. But when God judges the Pharisee, he didn't go home justified because the entirety of the law wasn't kept by him. When God judges the tax collector, he did go home justified because the law was entirely kept. Not by the tax collector, but by God's Son, Jesus Christ, who was received by the faith of the tax collector in his cry for mercy, in his cry for something outside of himself to cover his unrighteousness. And the same goes for us. Righteousness comes only by the grace of God, as it's revealed by the life, death, and resurrection of Christ. Our injustices to God and each other are placed upon the body of the one killed unjustly. And by his wounds in resurrection from the dead, our debts are paid. So even though we have a just God punishing wickedness and evil, we also have a merciful God, moved by our desperation and cry for help, gifting righteousness and salvation to those who have faith and trust in him through Jesus Christ, his Son. God, be merciful to us sinners and atone for our sins in the blood of the Lamb. In the holy name of Jesus, amen.